Well, good morning. Welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Buer. I'm the teaching pastor at the Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we concluded our Build series. We've been looking at our two-year vision through the lens of the book of Nehemiah. We've been talking about neighbors, nations, and next generations, what we feel like God has called us to focus on, those three areas over the next 2 years. And really, in a sense, those three sort of areas of people groups, right? Our neighbors, and then the nations, right? Global missions, and then next generations, thinking about our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren and how we want to leave a legacy of faith, leave a legacy that, an example that points our kids and our grandkids toward Christ. And so as we were looking at this kind of through the lens of Nehemiah, we were looking at Nehemiah chapter 9 and 10, and one of the things that I saw so prominently in Nehemiah 9 is the people are all assembled, and as they read and they talk about, they sing a song, they spend time in confession, they spend time in worship, they spend time listening to the word, but they pray and they sing, and they sing basically a hymn or a psalm, and it's a really beautiful psalm, but in that psalm it repeatedly talks about God's goodness, God's greatness, God's steadfast love, God's mercy, God's kindness, God's faithfulness, God's mightiness, God's awesomeness. These are the words that are used to describe God throughout Nehemiah chapter 9. And there's this juxtaposition of the sinfulness of the people. The people are confessing their sin and the sin of their ancestors, their fathers, their mothers, their grandfathers, their grandmothers. And they're also, in all the meanwhile, saying, God, while we've been sinful, you've been faithful. You have brought us back here to this place. You have maintained your covenant with us, not because of our goodness, but because of your goodness, not because of our performance, but because of your righteousness. And as I looked at that, I see the gospel in its Old Testament form. It's these declarations of the goodness of God, of how he is abounding in love, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And I think about, obviously, the gospel and what Jesus has done for us, that we are accepted by God and we are forgiven by God, not because of our performance, but because of what Jesus did for us, because of his performance on our behalf, because of his goodness, because of what he did at the cross. And that is the reason, I've kind of said every single Sunday, that's the reason that we give, is because we have been given so much. We have been forgiven of our sin. We've been given new life in Christ. And that's the reason we give. We don't want to give out of obligation. We don't want to give toward this vision or give back to the Lord because we feel like we have to. It should be that we're saying, man, Lord, we recognize that we want to become a generous people. We want to become a first fruits type of people because you are a first fruits type of God, because you're such a generous God. You have given so much to us. You gave your only son, and Jesus gave his very life to save us. And that's where we want to give from. And yet, I mentioned on Sunday, there's kind of a tension here where on the one hand, we give not out of obligation, we give out of joy. And at the same time, I think we should give out of a sense of urgency because our decisions matter. One of the things that also struck me in Nehemiah 9 is that they are confessing their sin and the sin of their ancestors. And that reminds me of this truth that our decisions today matter, and they matter for tomorrow. Our decisions today are not just going to impact us, but they'll impact our kids and our grandkids, just the way that our parents' decisions and our great-grandparents' decisions impacted us. Many of the things, right, wrong, or indifferent, many of the things that we experience today are, yes, some a result of the decisions we've made, but much a result of the decisions people before us have made. Our parents, our grandparents, the community before us, the church before us. And there's a heaviness that weighs on that. And so there's this sort of what I call holy tension, right? As we think about the next 2 years and we've made our commitments as we give, it's on the one hand, we're not giving out of obligation. We are giving trusting in God's sovereignty, and we are giving out of joy because of what God has done for us. And at the same time, I think we should give with a sense of urgency, knowing our decisions matter. And whether we are generous or not right now, I think makes a difference. And our decisions make a difference. And I believe God is completely in control and that God doesn't need us to save people. The unfortunate, I think, reality is if we decide not to be a part of God's activity, he'll use somebody else and we won't get to be a part of it. But I believe we should give and we should act and we should love and we should serve and we should spend our time with a sense of gratitude and at the same time a sense of urgency, knowing that decisions we make today, we are building a legacy. Our lives will say something. And our legacy, I want our legacy to be one of faith, where our kids and our grandkids look at us and our decisions that we're making and say, hey, those folks, right, imperfect as they were, they loved the Lord and they pursued the Lord. And they left us a legacy of faith that points us towards Christ. And that's what we're hoping for, right? Specifically, when we think about next generations, we think about this current generation growing up right now called Generation Z, right? Which is about, 5-year-olds to 20-year-olds roughly. And they just, they're dealing with a lot and they need Jesus like every other generation. But there are some unique challenges that I think that they face. And I feel increasingly just a responsibility as a leader. And I think us as a church to reach them with the gospel, to make sure they are hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we talk through at all of our campuses some of the steps that we're taking in our facilities in order to try to just be more permanent in our locations so that the Lord willing, we'll be doing ministry not just 5 years from now, but 50 years from now and years afterward. But I would invite you this morning just to take a moment and pray. Hopefully you've made your build commitment at this point in time. If you haven't, there is still time to do that. You have probably have received an email from either Dean or your teaching pastor just to give you an opportunity to do that link, that card digitally, or you can always find one at Guest Central and at any of your campuses and turn it in still this coming week. But I want to take a moment for us to just pray and thank the Lord for what he's doing. And then ask God to really to help us over the next 2 years, not just with our treasure, but with our time and our talents as well, to live our lives and leverage our lives for the sake of the gospel, to reach our neighbors, the nations, and the next generations. So will you join me just in prayer this morning? Father, we are so grateful for all the work that you have done in the past. Here at Delaware, 3.5 years, across LifePoint, 15 years now. It is stunning in a lot of ways to see all the ways in which you have worked, the lives that you have changed. And God, we are privileged and grateful to be a part of that. And Father, I pray for all of us over the next 2 years that, God, not just in the area of finances, but in our time, the way we spend our time and the way we invest the talents and the giftings that you have given us, the way that we live our lives. Father, may it be a reflection of your generosity toward us. May it be a reflection of Jesus's love toward us. And God, we want to live in such a way that those around us and those coming after us see us and ultimately they see you. God, we pray that you'd be glorified and we pray that the steps that we're taking right now would leave a legacy, Father, of faith. It's not about us, a legacy that points to you and to you alone. And God, I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.